Good morning. It's been good to be here and worshiping with you this morning. It's one of those mornings when you're speaking, you feel a burden to keep it moving along, to not drag it out too long, and to get on with it, because it is warm this morning and busy summer. We all have things we're doing, probably easy to feel a little drowsy. So, famous last words. We'll try to keep it brief and to the point this morning. So, know when they say that, well, I generally go over time. Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19. These verses say, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." So I'm not talking about eagles this morning, or boats, or snakes. That leaves one, and that's the way of a man with a maid. And I don't know what you're expecting when I give that as a context for the message. But I'm not planning to preach a message on marriage, dating, or headship order. Though I probably will refer to each of those at some point. In the past year or so, I've shared two messages. One was titled God Honoring Manhood, and the other was Daughters as Polished Cornerstones. And When I was done those messages, I felt that there was some loose ends on them I felt led the last several weeks to preach a message that sort of tries to pull some of those loose ends together. The burden of the message this morning is to promote healthy intergender relationships in the church. And that's my title is Healthy Intergender Relationships. Now, when we talk about intergender relationships, we make jokes about it. We take jabs at each other. We freely admit that we don't really totally understand the opposite gender. There are differences. We think differently about different things. But if we're honest, I think we all have to admit that men and women together bring a balance to life and relationships. And in a healthy group, that balance brings a fullness and completeness that you'll never experience in a group that is just of one gender. However, unhealthy relationships between genders causes chaos. We see that in society around us. We see that in families. And churches are no exception. Churches have not always done well with these relationships. And it's not just Christian groups. I think that intergender relationships have been a struggle for the human race ever since the fall. Sometimes in churches where men don't take their place in leading out, we have women that take over. And I put a large portion of the blame for that on the men for not taking their place. We as men can sometimes be irresponsible and not take the place that God has given us to fill and leave women with a little choice but to fill that gap if they don't want it to fall apart. So that's the one side. The other side is times or churches where women are basically invisible. And we've probably all been in settings where it's like that, where the speaker, where the segregated seating, and I'm not criticizing that, that's fine, but where the speaker speaks only to the men on one side, he stands up there and he talks He only looks one way. Where there's no relating back and forth between the genders at church. Women are on the one side, they go out one door. Men are on the other side, they go out the other door. Again, I'm not here to criticize that. They have their reasons for doing that. However, I, in the last several years, have felt, well, let me back up. I grew up in a setting that had some of that. I wouldn't say it was to the extreme, but there was some of that. And it may have just been my own faulty perceptions and not understanding things as I should have. But a few years ago, I came to realize that I needed to, and my appreciation for the opposite gender and what they bring to family, to society, and to the church especially. In society, there is much talk about women being objectified, where they are held up as a sexual object, an object of men's lust and desire. And we know that's wrong. And again, I blame men for that. Women will generally try to please what men want. If that's what men want, that the women in their life will likely tend to do that. And, I mean, women have their responsibility in playing along with that. But like I said, I put the primary blame on the men for that. But as I said, a few years ago, I came to the realization that I needed to do some work on my attitudes and how I viewed the intergender relationship. And I realized that idea of just separating the genders, essentially, to my way of thinking, it was putting the women in a place where it's not going to harm me. And you know, that doesn't work. In our own way, when we do that, we are also objectifying women as a sexual object. But instead of saying that it's something to desire and lust after, we're saying it's something to fear. And that's not right either. So how can we relate in a healthy manner, where we can relate in God's kingdom in a way that's going to benefit the blessings that each of the genders brings to the group, that where we can enjoy those benefits without creating an unhealthy atmosphere. Before we get started, let's clear that giant elephant in the room that society has brought us today. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female created he them." There are two genders. Period. End of sentence. There's no debate about it. Anything else, whether it's all the different perversions that society has come up with today, or whether it's somebody that thinks they want to be a dog or a broccoli or whatever it is that they have decided that they are, anything outside of the two genders is wrong and is outside of God's plan and blessing. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's the end of the discussion on that one. For a text this morning, you can turn to Genesis 2, and we'll be looking at verses 15 to 25. Genesis 2, verses 15 to 25. And for those of you that were at Wyatt and Renee's wedding the other Saturday, I apologize that I'm starting out with the same texts that James started out his message that morning with. that afternoon, I guess it was. But I will, in my own defense, I'll say I had these texts picked out before that, and I decided I'm just going to stick with them. So, Genesis 2, verses 15 to 25. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we have we had creation in Genesis chapter 1, just before this. Now chapter 2 is a restating of Genesis 1 with more details put into it. And we see that Adam was first created by himself. The other animals all had male and female, but Adam was there by himself. I don't know why God did it this way. Perhaps it was to impress upon Adam the need that he had for a mate, for a companion. But I want to consider for a few minutes now the rib. So as I read this text, and I went to various of the translations to confirm that it's said the same way. And it says, "The rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman." Now, in my mind, I always read that and read it from the rib. He made a woman. It doesn't say that. It says he took the rib and he made it into a woman. Is the wording important? I'm not sure. But the fact that it says that the rib was made into a woman, or the literal translation is a she-man, the rib was not used to as a base to form a woman out of the dust as Adam was formed or as the animals were formed, but it says that God took that rib and he made that rib into a woman. I find some inspiration in that. Adam and Eve were one. Separate beings, different roles, yes, yet one. One DNA, one flesh, one purpose. Two, yet one. I can't fully understand that, and I certainly can't fully explain that. But I can appreciate the beauty of it. Also, that rib was taken from Adam's side. I want to think about that for a little bit. Ribs, if we're thin enough that we can feel them, are right under our arm. That rib was from near to Adam's heart. It was from his side. It was from under the protection of his arm. You see the symbolism in that? A companion for his side. Someone that was near to his heart. And someone for him to protect. I find that beautiful. Moving on to considering how do we relate. There's four levels of relationship that I want to look at this morning. They are intellectual, spiritual, emotional, and physical. I'll repeat that. It's intellectual, spiritual, emotional, and physical. These different levels of relationship interconnect in various ways, some of which we will consider. However, I feel that they also are very separate, and understanding them will help us in our relating in healthy and safe ways. Intellect refers to the capacity of the mind to reason, to understand and form judgments. It encompasses the ability to acquire and apply knowledge, think critically, and solve problems. In essence, it is the mental faculty that allows humans to comprehend, learn, and engage with complex ideas. Men and women are intellectual equals. Now, we sometimes wonder about that because we think about things so differently. Our viewpoints are different, and we'll touch on that a little bit more as we go through this morning. I think that comes into some of the other relating as well. But intellectual relationships are probably one of the least problematic as we consider keeping relationships healthy between genders. Spiritual, relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. And again, before God, men and women are spiritual equals. And spiritual relationships, however, go to a deeper personal level than intellectual relationships. Emotional, relating to a person's emotion. And emotions, how do you describe them? They're those finicky things that keep changing and going places we don't always want them to go. Women tend to show more emotion than men, and I believe are superior in relating better to emotions in others than men are. And I think we see that women are better at relating on an emotional level than men are. It's something that we as men can often try to learn to grow in, I believe. And physical, relating to the body as opposed to the mind or spirit. In general, man is the stronger, more aggressive gender. And I heard it said one time that in a man, the instinct to reproduce is second only to the instinct of survival. And I think as those of us that are adult men, we can relate to that. It's a strong instinct that we have to learn to control and to channel to in the way God intended. Feel free to correct me afterwards. If I'm really wrong, I get up on your bench and jump up and down and tell me to stop. These are, take it for what it's worth, it's my thoughts. Healthy intellectual relationships. I believe that healthy intergender relationships start with strong intellectual relationships. I think that if we learn to appreciate each other and to try to at least hear, if not understand, each other's thoughts and input on various subjects, there's wide-ranging subjects to relate to on the intellectual level. But I think we have to learn to appreciate and respect the opposite gender's view and input on that. Men and women are intellectual equals, but we have different perspectives. We have different perspectives, but they are of equal value. Recognizing the value of the other gender's perspective and opinion is very important, and learning to engage well intellectually is key to building healthy relationships, in my opinion. The next level is spiritual relationships. Again, men and women are spiritual equals before God. Yes, I mean, we can go into the headship order thing, but to me, that's not a judgment of our spiritual relationship to God, but rather an order that God has put in place for the good of man, for order. Men are called to lead out spiritually in the church and home. Women contribute a much needed balance. And I've really learned to appreciate here at Shalom. In our leadership meetings, we made the decision to include our wives whenever possible. And I have appreciated the balance that can bring to our discussion. Like I said, men and women look at things from a little different perspectives. We have a little different take on things. And if we only have a group of men discussing something, we're going to miss some of the balance that women could bring to that discussion that we as men will maybe not totally understand, but I think is needful for a good group relationship and to have a group that everyone feels they are a genuine part of. A group of people together at church will bring spiritual relationships. Spiritual relationships go deeper than just an intellectual relationship. It goes beyond just discussing ideas and things and those material things. It relates to our spirit and to our soul. And I believe that keeping spiritual relationships healthy needs to be very intentional. Because it goes to a deeper level, I believe it also brings a greater danger of it leading somewhere where it's not intended to go. So I think things like spiritual help and counseling, I don't believe that that a man or a woman should counsel anyone of the opposite gender by themselves. I think that it is important that if there's counseling or spiritual help needed, whoever is doing the counseling has their partner with them while they are counseling to ensure that the relationship is kept on a healthy level. Guardrails need to be established to keep spiritual relationships from bleeding into unhealthy emotional attachment. And that brings us to the next level of interaction, and that is emotional. The Bible recognizes that we are emotional beings. In fact, it tells us in Romans 12, verse 15, that we are to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Sharing together in others' emotional journey is a way that we can help to bear each other's burden. But because of the unpredictability of emotions, I believe greater care and caution needs to be exercised in emotional connection and relationship between genders. Like I said, a spiritual relationship, because it is relating to the spirit and the soul, I believe it can bleed into an emotional relationship or attachment. And emotional affairs and unhealthy attachments are a real thing. Matthew 5, verse 27-28 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Bible is saying that, or Jesus is saying here that physical sin is not the only sin, but that emotional attachment or lust is also sin. And an unhealthy emotional relationship can quickly deteriorate into sinful physical relations. Emotional connections between genders need to have strict guardrails, I believe. And I believe that with this, an honesty with ourselves in our emotional connections is very important. If we aren't going to be honest with ourselves in our relationships and how we are relating to and viewing each other. Why we are going to we are destined to fall, I believe. Again, just as in spiritual relationships, I believe that any relating when there needs to be counseling, I believe that one-on-one between genders should be avoided. That brings us to the last one, and that's healthy physical relationships. Genesis 4, verse 1 says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.'" The physical relationship between man and woman is a beautiful thing, ordained of God for the propagation and pleasure of the human race within the bounds of marriage. And that last phrase is all important. It is within the bounds of marriage. Any physical relationships outside of God's plan for marriage are wrong and cause a tremendous amount of damage to individuals, family, society, and churches. Strong convictions and guardrails are needed. Our Constitution says we believe that our bodies and our sexuality are sacred, created by God for His purpose and glory. And I don't know who came up with that wording, but when I first read it, I had to go back and read that one again. And I was really blessed by it. Our bodies and our sexuality are a gift from God. Understanding that will help us to respect ourselves for what God has created us to be, and to also demand that respect from others in relating to us. We don't have to take disrespectful relating to us from others in physical or sexual connotation. Marriage brings all four of these relationships together. And marriage is, God does not, has not called all of us to marriage, but for those of us that he has, it is important that we have those relationships all working. We need that intellectual relationship. We need healthy spiritual relationship with each other. We need healthy emotional relationship with each other, and that will help us to have a healthy physical relationship. I believe that courtship helps to develop, or Christian courtship helps to develop those in their proper context. I know there's groups that don't believe in courtship, where they you go talk to your dad, and then you go talk to the preacher, and then you all go talk to her dad, and then you get married in 6 weeks if everyone's in agreement. And they have their reasons for doing that, I'm sure. I assume it's because in reaction to some of the unhealthy courtship practices that are in society, or even, God forbid, in churches. But those of us that are in a marriage relationship, if we look back, how much harder would it have been to develop that healthy intellectual, spiritual, and emotional relationship with your partner if the physical relationship was in place right at the start? I think that courtship is important to give us that time to develop those healthy relationships to then be ready to move into the physical relationship. The physical relationship is going to be a distraction to developing the others. So I'm not condemning them for how they do it. I'm just saying that's my opinion on why courtship as we do it is a good thing. In closing, I appreciate the relationships that I see here at Shalom, and I desire for healthy intergender relationships in our group to continue and to grow. And my desire is to see that our group will prosper and be a group of people that can relate together with all of us in healthy ways. Let's have a closing song.